From the heart of our nation's capital in Washington, D.C., bringing compelling interviews, insightful analysis, taking you beyond the headlines and sound bites into conversations with our nation's leaders and newsmakers, all from a biblical worldview. Washington Watch with Tony Perkins starts now.
I think a lot was determined at that meeting, and I have to meet with Israel, and I have to do that also. They know what I want, and I think we can get that one done. I hope we can get it done.
That was President Donald Trump today at the White House during his meeting with Turkish President Erdogan, saying a deal to end the war in Gaza may be within reach. Welcome to this September 25th edition of Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. Thanks so much for joining us today. So coming up, President Trump suggested the U.S. could lift sanctions on Turkey and allow it to buy the U.S. F-35 jets. Now, what does this and a wave of Palestinian statehood recognitions at the U.N. mean for Israel? Chris Mitchell, Middle East Bureau Chief at CBN News, will join us live from Jerusalem to break it all down. And Democrats continue to oppose a clean funding bill that the House passed last week, raising the stakes for a potential government shutdown. Congressman John McGuire of Virginia will join me to explore what this means and what could happen next. President Trump says a deal to end the war in Gaza could be close. Now, this comes after U.S. Special Envoy Steve Witkoff revealed that Trump presented a 21-point peace plan during meetings with Muslim leaders at the U.N. General Assembly earlier this week. So joining me now is Washington Stan reporter Casey Harper, who has been following this story. Casey, what can you tell us about President Trump's peace plan?
Yeah, well, thank you, Tony. President Trump met at the White House today with the Turkish president. And during that meeting, the president said that the ongoing talks between the U.S. and key Middle East leaders are making progress. That includes Saudi Arabia, Qatar, the UAE, and Jordan.
I think we can get that one done. I hope we can get it done. A lot of people are dying. But we want the hostages back. We don't want them back one this week, one in 2 months from now, three later, and, you know, like the way it's been going. We got them all back. We got a lot of them back. We got our American, the American Alexander. We got the American hostages back.
Now, Trump also said he still needs to meet with Israeli officials and emphasized that returning hostages remains a top priority. It's important to note that President Trump made these comments while sitting next to the Turkish president, who recently referred to Hamas not as a terrorist group, but as a resistance movement. Of course, Hamas is officially designated as a terrorist organization by both the U.S. and Israel. Now, after meeting with Arab leaders at the U.N., U.S. Special Envoy Steve Witkoff, as you said, and along with President Trump, presented a 21-point peace plan for Gaza during talks with Muslim leaders at the General Assembly earlier this week. At the U.N., several countries recognize the Palestinian state. However, President Trump and others have emphasized that granting statehood at this moment would effectively reward Hamas for the October 7th attack, Tony.
Again, as I've said before, I absolutely agree with that. Congressman John McGuire of Virginia will join me shortly to discuss this meeting between President Trump and Erdogan. Now, on a different topic, Casey, a Quinnipiac poll shows growing worry about democracy and political violence in the United States. What's behind these fears?
Yeah, this is kind of an alarming poll, Tony. This poll shows growing pessimism across the country, with 53% of Americans saying democracy in the U.S. is, quote, not working, while 41% say it is. Now, this divide is sharply along party lines. 74% of Democrats believe the system's broken, compared to just 22% of Republicans. However, 79% of Americans overall say the U.S. is in political crisis, Tony.
Well, a lot to be praying about when we look at the division that's in this nation. I want to go to another topic in D.C. or in the Virginia area. There's reports that the newly sworn in U.S. attorney for the Eastern District of Virginia, Lindsey Halligan, is preparing to ask a grand jury to indict the former FBI director, James Comey. What do we know about this?
Yeah, it's a big update, Tony. Right. So the former FBI director, James Comey, he could soon be indicted for allegedly lying to Congress. The prosecutors are expected to present the case to a grand jury in Virginia this week. But of course, Comey was a key figure in the Russia probe and a longtime Trump critic. He's faced growing calls from Republicans to be held accountable. President Trump himself has urged swift action, saying justice must be served now. So this case is being reviewed by, as you said, the newly appointed U.S. Attorney Lindsey Halligan after concerns that the previous prosecutor was stalling.
Casey, one more item, and that is the latest on the efforts to fund the government. How's that going?
Well, everyone's watching it, and of course you are closely, but the White House is ordering federal agencies to prepare for large-scale layoffs if the government shuts down next week. So in a memo released Wednesday night, the Office of Management and Budget instructed agencies to consider cutting jobs and programs that would lose funding and don't align with the president's priorities. Democrats continue to oppose a clean funding bill that the House passed last week, raising the stakes for a potential shutdown, Tony.
Yeah, what's interesting, Casey, is the president in a shutdown can determine what stays open, what doesn't, what gets funded.
That's right.
And I think this was really kind of a negotiation move saying, hey, you guys want to shut it down? Go right ahead, because this is what we're going to do. Would not be surprised if this brings the Democrats to the table. Casey, thanks so much. Appreciate you joining us. All right. Joining me now to go further into President Trump's meeting today with Turkey's President Erdogan is Congressman John McGuire. He's a member of the House Armed Services Committee and the Committee on the Oversight of Government Reform. He represents the 5th Congressional District of Virginia. Congressman McGuire, welcome back to Washington Watch. Thanks so much for joining us.
Hey, Tony, great to see you. I'm all over the district having meetings today, so I apologize. I'm out of the truck. No, great to see you again, and there's a lot going on in the world right now, and it's an honor to be part of it.
Congressman, you are a veteran of the United States Navy. You are a Navy SEAL. You understand security concerns. There's been growing concerns about our NATO ally, Turkey. I mean, what's been going on in the Middle East, their hostilities toward Israel. In fact, earlier this week, President Erdogan saying that he did not see Hamas as a terrorist organization. Are you concerned that they might have access to the latest U.S. technology like the F-35?
I'm very concerned about that. And, you know, when I was in Israel the first week of August, and they, I don't know if you know, but they've uncovered the true city of David. It's like 30 feet underground, and they're digging through there, and they're finding old tablets in Hebrew, and the leaders of Turkey refuse to recognize it. Because if they recognize that Hebrew there, that those tablets are in Hebrew, then it acknowledges the ancient existence of the Jewish people in the land of Israel. And so I'm definitely concerned about those folks. We're supposed to be on the same team. We're supposed to be allies, but I'm very concerned.
When we look at their priorities and even what they're doing in Syria, I do think there's reason to be concerned with President Erdogan. I do want to get you to comment a little bit on Israel. I know you were there. I've actually been to that same site a couple of times. The president reportedly, now we don't know this for certain, it was reported by three individuals, the AP reporting it, that in some of the sideline meetings that the president had with Islamic leaders from the Middle East, saying that he would not allow Israel to annex, quote unquote, the West Bank, which is Judea and Samaria. Your thoughts?
Well, I think that I trust President Trump. I mean, he is the art of the deal and a heck of a peacemaker. And I also trust Bibi Netanyahu to know what's going on in his area. I mean, he's got 7 fronts, and he deserves to do what he needs to do to keep Israel and the Israeli people safe. It's a very complicated place. You know, I was there, and I went into the West Bank, and I don't know if you know, but when you go into the West Bank, there are signs that say no Jews allowed, and I was around these guards that had ninja masks on and AK-47s, and they were surrounding the freshman congressman, and one of them had the audacity to say to us, maybe if Israel fed the starving children, we could have peace. And I looked left, and I looked right, and I couldn't believe anyone wouldn't speak up. So I probably shouldn't have done this, but I said, maybe if you didn't send ballistic missiles into Israel and kill innocent people, I said, maybe if you didn't videotape and laugh while you're killing people and cutting off body parts, and I said, maybe if you freed the hostages, then maybe we could have peace. The media is not reporting both sides of the story, and it's very complicated.
It is. In fact, I was speaking with two of the governors from, actually the governor of Judea and the governor of Samaria earlier today. I've been in that region many, many times, and you've described it aptly. There are many areas that Jewish people who this is the biblical heartland. 80% of what we read about in the Bible was in Judea and Samaria, and they're places that Jewish people cannot go, Israelis cannot go, because it's Palestinian area controlled by the Palestinian Authority, and they're harboring terrorists. And going back to Turkey, many of the weapons that they have are coming through Jordan from Turkey into Judea and Samaria.
Well, you're right, Tony, and that's why I'm concerned. Is, you know, Ronald Reagan said, trust but verify, but if it looks like a duck, quacks like a duck, swims like a duck, it might be a duck. So I am concerned.
I know you're in the district, many members back in the district this week going around having meetings. The House last week before you left approved a clean CR. That went over to the Senate. Senate Democrats have refused to advance it. Give us the latest. How do you see this playing out?
Well, one thing I would tell the viewers is that they created the modern budget process in 1977 with 12 spending bills, which is a budget. We've only ever passed all of them four times. We've only ever passed all of them four times since 1977. The last one we passed, budget, all 12 spending bills, was 1996. So we've been living on a CR ever since 1996, which I would rather have a budget. I'm sure you'd rather have a budget. We passed, we did our job in the House and we went home. The Senate, Schumer, I think they're playing chicken with President Trump, and they're threatening to shut down the government. But if we do shut down the government, that's on the Democrats.
Yeah, again, the House passing a clean CR, which, by the way, we've talked about this before on the program this week. The Democrats voted for this same funding bill before. They just won't do it now because they're trying to extract concessions from the president to spend billions more dollars that were cut out by the reconciliation process.
Yes, Tony, what they want to do is they put illegal aliens and criminals over law-abiding citizens. They want money in this CR to continue paying health care and other programs to people who broke the law and came here illegally. And these folks, we don't know, 15, 20 million, many of them are gang members and murderers, as President Trump says. They have been robbing, raping, and killing the American people. We have nothing wrong with immigration, but legal immigration.
Right.
And that's why I'm so glad we have Tom Homan and Kristi Noem and everybody else, you know, working so hard to make our community safer.
Congressman, we appreciate you taking time to join us as you're out there crisscrossing your district, and always appreciate your insights on these important issues.
Well, thanks for having me, and please pray for Charlie Kirk's family. I went to that, it was like a spiritual revival in Arizona. I was there, I felt the spirit, and on the way home, I wore a shirt that said freedom on it, just like Charlie was wearing. Young people and old came up to me and said they watched online, and they're going back to church for the first time ever. An 80-year-old said that he felt ashamed he didn't know Charlie Kirk, and I've heard that churches are packed. And I've also heard that some atheists said they want to learn more about Jesus now because of the assassination of Charlie Kirk. So God bless you. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you, John. And it is a unique moment, one that we need to steward appropriately as we pray for our nation. And speaking of prayer, we're going to be praying a little bit later in the program for Israel. So stick around for that. Also want to remind you, coming up, the Pray Vote Stand Summit. And California, Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, coming up on October the 17th and 18th. You can join us. Go to prayvotestand.org to find out more. All right, don't go away. We're back with Chris Mitchell after this.
3 years ago, the Supreme Court issued its historic Dobbs decision, a ruling that overturned Roe v. Wade, which for nearly 50 years imposed abortion on demand, silencing voters and bypassing the democratic process across the country. The Dobbs decision was a huge step forward against abortion, but it didn't outright ban it. It returned the power to the people. Now, 29 states have laws on the books protecting life. However, there's a catch. Abortion numbers since Dobbs have actually gone up, with an increase of 12% since 2020, climbing from 930,000 to over 1 million in each of the most recent years. So how can this be? The answer is simple: the abortion drug. Today, over 60% of U.S. abortions involve abortion drugs, many of these without medical oversight. In 2021, the Biden administration quietly removed bare minimum long-standing safety protocols for the abortion drug that have existed for 20 years to protect women from life-threatening risks and ensuring informed consent. The Biden DOJ then declared that they would not enforce the Comstock Act, which prevents the mailing of anything that causes an abortion. This is not only illegal, but also dangerous. A study shows nearly 11% of women who take the abortion drug end up in the emergency room with serious complications. Unless the Trump administration reverses these reckless Biden-era policies, pro-life laws will remain largely symbolic. Without a full review and repeal of mifepristone, unborn lives will remain in grave danger and pregnant mothers will remain at risk. Let's stand for life and end this mail-order abortion drug pipeline. Sign the petition urging the Trump administration to take action at frc.org/stopchemicalabortion.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory. Family Research Council invites you to join our Stand on the Word Bible reading plan as we reflect upon the life of Jesus, the Word who dwelt among us. Come with us and discover the glory of the Word. Read the Gospels and witness the life-changing story of Jesus, his life, death, and resurrection. Come read how Jesus transformed the lives of common people and how those same people transformed the known world through the power of the Holy Spirit. Come with us for 10 to 15 minutes a day and read the entire New Testament before the new year. Find our Bible reading plan and daily devotionals from Tony Perkins at frc.org/Bible. Join us and stand on the Word.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm going to take just a moment and thank the many, many listeners who have responded to the call to help FRC stop the abortion drug mifepristone. Now, most Americans do not know that abortion rates have actually gone up since the overturn of Roe. Now, despite abortion clinics closing, there are more abortions today. Why? The abortion industry is following the example of the retail giants closing the brick and mortar and using the mail. This is only happening, though, because Biden-era policies remain in place. FRC is committed to exposing the truth about the abortion drug, protecting mothers and babies, defending the sanctity of life, and stopping the abortion drug. Many states that have pro-life laws, those laws are being undermined by the abortion drug being mailed into those states. And you can help. And I ask you to stand with us. Right now, thanks to generous friends of FRC, your support will have triple the impact this week, just this week. But to stand with FRC in saving tomorrow's children today, simply text the word unborn to 67742. That's unborn to 67742. Let's stop the abortion pill that has, in effect, made Roe, the overturn of Roe, of no effect. All right, text unborn to 67742. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu will address the United Nations General Assembly tomorrow and is expected to meet with U.S. Special Envoy Steve Witkoff today in New York to discuss the war in Gaza. Now, earlier today, during a Q&A with reporters in the Oval Office, President Trump was asked about Gaza, and he said, quote, "We're close to getting some kind of deal done," end quote. But there are concerns about what that deal could entail. Will it be one that Israel can get behind? There's been some discussions that the president has said that he would not support or allow Israel to annex areas of Judea and Samaria. Joining me now live from Jerusalem to discuss this and other developments is Chris Mitchell, the Middle East Bureau Chief at CBN News. Chris, welcome back to Washington Watch. Thanks so much for staying up late to join us.
No problem, Tony. Great to be with you.
All right. On Tuesday, President Trump met with Arab and Muslim leaders, and what we've heard so far is that the meeting has prompted some concerns. What are you hearing there in Israel?
Well, there are concerns about that meeting, and supposedly out of that meeting, it proposed what Trump proposed was this 21 comprehensive point plan to end the war in Gaza, release all of the hostages, and then for a post-Gaza war governance by perhaps Arab and Muslim nations. One of those particularly issues will be what will happen with sovereignty over Judea and Samaria. Apparently, the UAE and I presume other nations in that meeting, that would be a non-starter for them, and that may actually break this potential deal. So that is really concerning for many people, that it would abrogate, it would stop any annexation of sovereignty over Judea and Samaria.
Well, just this last weekend, I believe that Prime Minister Netanyahu said that they were moving forward for their annexation.
Yeah, there's a lot of pressure here, momentum within his government, that it would be this would be an opportunity for Israel, especially when all these other nations are declaring for a Palestinian state, France, Canada, the UK, and others. This would be an opportunity to declare that this potential Palestinian state really won't have any ability to go ahead and do that, and that the annexation and the sovereignty would make the claim for the biblical heartland of Israel. You've been there many times, Tony, I know, and this is the heartland of the Bible, and this is what many people believe here in Israel from the coalition government, that they really have a claim to that biblically and historically.
Israel has kind of been a punching bag at the United Nations General Assembly this week. A lot of countries have taken shots, even some historic, countries that have been historically been allies. What's the sense there in Israel as to what they're seeing happen on the national stage? Is it just another day for them, or is there a growing concern?
I think there's growing concern, Tony, especially almost 2 years after October 7th, that there's a growing international, some people call it a diplomatic tsunami against Israel, and it's being blamed for a genocide in Gaza that they don't feel has any merit. If you can't have a genocide, if you're pouring in humanitarian aid there, and they're doing what probably no other army in history has done by giving text messages, phone calls, leaflets, trying to get Gazans out of harm's way, and yet Israel's being accused of a genocide. Just yesterday, Mahmoud Abbas, the president of the Palestinian Authority, he was calling Israeli a genocide. And let me just tell you what some of his own government is saying, and they're saying, we own the place. Israel will come to an end. The goal is to liberate Palestine from the river to the sea. You can find that on a website called Palestinian Media Watch, finding out what the Palestinians say in their own language. And they, in many ways, are calling for a genocide. But so to your point and question, Tony, I think many people feel like Israel is getting increasingly isolated, and Jews around the world are getting more concerned about their own safety in places like the UK, France, and places in Europe, and even the US.
What do you anticipate that Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu will say tomorrow at the General Assembly of the UN?
Well, I think he's going to make a robust defense of what the IDF has done for the past 2 years. He's going to come against these calls for genocide. He's also going to come against many of the nations that have called for a Palestinian state. This is what he said when he was leaving the airport, Tony. He's going to denounce those leaders who, instead of denouncing the murderers, rapists, and child burners on October 7th, want to give them a state in the heart of the land of Israel. He says this will not happen. So I think he's going to have a robust defense of Israel on the world stage. He's done it many times. He's been there many times, but people need to pray for him right now for wisdom, not only tomorrow, but also with this pivotal meeting, I think, on Monday with President Trump.
Well, Chris, that's a good segue into praying. We're praying today on the air for Prime Minister Netanyahu and Israel, the situation. And we've got a little less than a minute left. Would you pray?
Father. Yeah, thank you, Tony. Father, we just pray right now for President Trump, for his wisdom. He's been meeting with many, many leaders, and he feels like they're close to a breakthrough. So we pray for President Trump right now. And Father, we pray especially for Prime Minister Netanyahu on the verge of a major speech, a pivotal speech in the history of Israel and subsequent meetings at the White House. We pray for your will to be done through this speech, through these meetings, and that you would have your purposes and plans, and that you would defend your chosen people and the state of Israel. We ask this in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
straight from Jerusalem. Chris Mitchell, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks, Tony.
All right, folks, more prayer on the other side of the break, so don't go away. In fact, call your friends, invite them to join us as we pray.
Download the new Stand Firm app for Apple and Android phones today. You can join a wonderful community of fellow believers. We've created a special place for you to access news from a biblical perspective. Read and listen to daily devotionals, pray for current events, and more. Share the Stand Firm app with your friends, family, and church members. And of course, stand firm wherever you go.
At Family Research Council, defending the family isn't just a mission, it's our daily calling. Every team member at FRC uses their God-given talents to stand for biblical truth, protect life, and uphold religious freedom.
Here at Family Research Council, we face many threats to the family, threats that have been with us for some time. Abortion, the gender ideology threat, the attacks on marriage, the attacks on parental authority, and the attacks on religious freedom. We have to promote, support, strengthen, and incentivize family growth so families take their place in society in a place of honor.
I'm defending the family by working in the Center for Biblical Worldview to provide cutting-edge research and resources for pastors, ministry leaders, and Christian parents.
Through my work at the Washington Stand, I passionately defend what God has defined for marriage and family. I don't see the Washington Stand as just a place to talk about cultural events. It's a place to share biblical truth. It's a perfect outlet to advance and defend what God has defined as good, true, and beautiful.
Because of you, we're able to frame things in such a way that help Christians stand for truth on the things that matter most, like life, faith, family, and freedom.
Thank you for standing with us.
Thank you for your support. It is so critical to the work that we at Family Research Council are doing day to day as we support and strengthen the family. So thank you.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. As we discussed in the last segment with CBN's Chris Mitchell, this is an extremely consequential week for Israel. Right now, the world's eyes are on the Jewish nation as world leaders are gathered in New York City for the United Nations General Assembly. As we discuss tomorrow, Israel's Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu is scheduled to speak. Now, given the gravity of the moment, we want to pause and take this time on the air to pray. So we're dedicating the remainder of today's program to provide you with some perspectives and information so that you can engage in prayer for the Jewish nation. Now, we want to use the spiritual authority we've been given as followers of Christ. So we're going to be praying for them from key governmental cities around the world. We just prayed from Jerusalem. We're going to pray again from Jerusalem, Geneva, New York, and Washington. And we're going to start by staying in Jerusalem. Joining me is Rick Ridings. He is the founder of Sukkot Hallel, a ministry that lifts up worship and intercession 24 hours a day from their facility overlooking the Temple Mount, Mount Zion, and the Mount of Olives. For those of you who have watched Washington Watch when I've been in Jerusalem, I have done the program from the top of their building. Rick, welcome to Washington Watch. Thanks for staying up late to pray with us.
Thank you, Tony. It's great to be with you.
You may have heard Chris Mitchell as he was discussing the situation earlier. Would you lead us in prayer from Israel's eternal capital, the city of Jerusalem?
Yes, I'd like to start by proclaiming a scripture from Isaiah 28, verses 5 and 6. It says, "In that day, the Lord Almighty will be a glorious crown, a beautiful wreath for the remnant of his people." In other words, when the nations are coming so strongly against Israel, the Lord has promised that he will come with his royal crown upon them, even as he did upon Queen Esther at a very strategic moment. It says he will be a spirit of justice to the one who sits in judgment, a source of strength to those who turn back the battle at the gate. So, Lord God of Israel, we thank you that ultimately, you have said the word of the Lord will come forth from Jerusalem. We know that will be at its fullness when Jesus returns and is seated on this hill in Jerusalem on his holy hill, on his holy throne. But we pray for Prime Minister Netanyahu that he would be a voice for truth, that he would be a voice for true justice, that he would be able to expose many of the lies that have come against your purposes and your plans at this time to totally uproot Hamas, to no longer prune them and let them just grow back even more numerous with more tunnels and more missiles and more terrorists. We believe you that this is the moment. The battle is at the gate of this nation. And we believe you to give him your word from Jerusalem that he may explain in such a way that any that are open would be able to hear the truth and begin to question what they have been told and what they've been fed. We thank you, Lord, that even in Babylon, you raised up Daniel as a prophetic voice in Babylon. He declared your purposes, your plans, and your will. And because he did that, no one could say, God is not just. I never had an opportunity to hear the truth. Some rejected the truth, but even the great king, great emperor Nebuchadnezzar, after he was severely humbled, acknowledged the truth of what Daniel had proclaimed and gave glory to the Lord God of Israel as the God above all gods, the only true and living God. So we pray for that Daniel anointing to be upon Prime Minister Netanyahu, not only in his speech, but also in these critical meetings on Monday with President Trump and many world leaders. May no trap be able to work against him. May he have the discernment of Daniel in that situation and the boldness to speak as Daniel spoke in the midst of Babylon. In the name Amen. Of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Rick. Appreciate that. Thanks for joining us. Speaking of Daniel, we're going to go to Geneva, Switzerland, where Daniel Obi is joining us. Switzerland, Geneva, Switzerland is a city that is really at the seat of global government today, where the UN Human Rights Council and so many UN and global government bodies are located, along with hundreds of international NGOs. And so we want to pray from that place. Daniel is founder of Candlelight International, a network of believers that enables individuals to be effective and efficient in transforming their local communities. Daniel, welcome to Washington Watch. You've got about a minute and a half. I'm going to ask you to pray.
Thank you, Tony, for having me. And I'm so privileged to be with you today. Before I start, I would like to read a scripture from 1 Kings 8, 5 to 11. 5. And King Solomon and all the congregation of Israel that were assembled unto him were with him before the ark, sacrificing sheep and oxen that could not be told nor numbered for multitude. 6. And the priest brought in the ark of the covenant of the Lord unto his place, into the oracle of the house, to the most holy place, even under the wings of the cherubims. 7. For the cherubims spread forth their two wings over the place of the ark, and the cherubims covered the ark and the staffs thereof above. 8. And they drew out the staffs, that the ends of the staffs were seen out in the holy place before the oracle, and they were not seen without. And there they are unto this day. 9. There was nothing in the ark save the two tables of stone, which Moses put there at Horeb, when the Lord made a covenant with the children of Israel, when they came out of the land of Egypt. 10. And it came to pass, when the priests were come out of the holy place, that the cloud filled the house of the Lord. 11. So that the priest could not stand to minister the cause of the cloud. For the glory.
Family Research Council is committed to advancing faith, family, and freedom from the East Coast to the West. So FRC is going to Southern California for this year's Pray, Vote, Stand Summit, October 17th and 18th at Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills. Join us for this powerful gathering of Christians desiring cultural renewal and spiritual revival. The Pray, Vote, Stand Summit brings together Christian leaders, issue experts, and government officials for a time of prayer, inspiration, and action. Together, we will seek God's guidance for our nation and engage in meaningful discussions on the intersection of faith, government, and culture. If the spiritual foundations and the cultural walls of our nation are to be rebuilt, we all have a role to play. May we each find our place on the wall as we build for biblical truth. Register now at PrayVoteStand.org. That's PrayVoteStand.org.
Jennifer, it's so exciting to be here with you today talking about our new book, Embracing God's Design. Who is actually going to benefit from reading this book in your view?
There are so many different audiences that can benefit. The first one are counselors themselves, right? Because we have some material in there where we really address the gender dysphoria diagnosis and what is wrong with it. We have information for people who are wanting to go back to embracing God's design for their life.
This is really magical to have the therapist and the individual who suffered come together and write about why this is happening and why we're seeing this.
And we brought all of that experience to the table. We want to see people walking in the fullness of who God has called them to be and not a false identity.
Order today at embracethedesign.com.
How should Christians think about the thorny issues shaping our culture? How should Christians address deceitful ideas like transgenderism, critical theory, or assisted suicide? How can Christians navigate raising children in a broken culture, the war on gender roles, or rebuilding our once great nation? Outstanding is a podcast from the Washington Stand dedicated to these critical conversations. Outstanding seeks to tear down what our corrupt culture lifts up with an aim to take every thought and every idea captive to the obedience of Christ. Whether policies or partisan politics, whether conflict in America or conflict abroad, join us and our guests as we examine the headlines through the lens of Scripture and explore how Christians can faithfully exalt Christ in all of life. Follow Outstanding on your favorite podcast app and look for new episodes each week.
Welcome back to Washington Watch, this special edition as we pray for Israel. I do want to remind you, in about 3 weeks, like-minded Christ followers from around the country are going to gather at Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in California, to pray. Talk about voting and standing. It's our Pray, Vote, Stand Summit. If there was ever a time that we needed God to move in our nation, it's now. So I encourage you to join us October the 17th and 18th in California for this powerful gathering where we will be praying. We will be praying, and we're going to be seeking God's hand upon this nation, not just cultural renewal, but spiritual revival. To learn more and to register, visit PrayVoteStand.org. That's PrayVoteStand.org. All right, as I mentioned, for those just joining us, we've stepped away from today's normal programming to just pray, to pray for the nation of Israel as world leaders meet for the 80th session of the United Nations General Assembly. Scripture is very clear that we need to be praying for Israel. It tells us that in Psalm 122. And it tells us that whoever blesses Israel will be blessed in Genesis chapter 12. And unfortunately, there's a growing number of countries around the world that have lined up against the nation of Israel and have joined the call to recognize a so-called Palestinian state, which, you know, in and of itself sounds fine, but it means taking the land, Judea and Samaria, away from Israel. Now, that's not based on historic, objective, or even legal criteria for recognition of this Palestinian state, but rather it's out of animus against the Jewish nation and misguided sentiments on the way Israel is conducting its war against Hamas. This war could be over if Hamas would let those terrorists go. So we want to pray for Israel, pray against the spirit of anti-Semitism, and pray for the prime minister who will be speaking tomorrow at the UN and later meeting with President Trump. So joining me now to continue in our prayer for the Jewish nation is Tomas Sandel. He's the founding director of the European Coalition for Israel. Tomas is in New York this week for the UN proceedings. Tomas, welcome to Washington Watch. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Before you go into prayer and leading us in prayer, can you give us a sense of what it's been like to be up there at the United Nations this week?
I think this is a watershed moment in history. We've been coming here for the last 14 years, and I never seen or experienced anything like it right now. And that's on two levels. One is that Israel as a state is being diplomatically isolated. At the last vote, we saw only 8 nations out of 193, I think it is, standing with Israel. That's a very small number. But what we see at the same time is that there is growing anti-Semitism on the streets in Europe, but also here in New York. And if there was ever a time to stand in prayer with the Jewish people, this is the time. And as Europeans, we always ask this question, what would we have done in the 1930s? That question can be asked in a different way. What are we going to do now, today?
That's really a poignant question, because looking back on history where your decision really doesn't matter, you can say, well, what would I have done then? Well, you're absolutely right. That same question stands before us now in a very real and tangible way. So, Tomas, with that in mind, would you pray for us?
Yes. Yes, Father, thank you that you are the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You are the God of Israel, and you are, your son Jesus is on the throne. So even as the nations rage, as it says in Psalm 2, that they are coming against your people, we know that you are on the throne. But Father, we pray not only for Israel, for the prime minister who will speak tomorrow, but also for the nations. Father, I thank you for those nations that have the courage to stand with Israel, thinking of Argentina, Paraguay, the Pacific Islands, Hungary, and of course, these great nations, the United States. I thank you for the United States for being a nation that wants to bless Israel. But I pray that that group of 8 would grow, that there would be more sheep nations. So, Father, give the wisdom to the prime minister tomorrow as he speaks. And as he has been a prophetic voice so many years before, let him speak prophetically to the nations again. But may the nations hear what the Lord is saying and respond accordingly. This I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Tomas, thank you so much for joining us, and we'll be praying for you as well as you're there praying in New York City. You know, as Tomas was talking about, there are more than 150 member countries of the United Nations now that have recognized a so-called Palestinian states, with among the latest being the United Kingdom, Australia, Portugal, Canada, and France. There are still countries, though, that continue to stand with Israel. Earlier this month, 10 countries voted against a declaration outlining steps toward a so-called two-state solution. They were Israel, the U.S., Argentina, Hungary, Micronesia, Nauru, Palau, Papua New Guinea, Paraguay, and Tonga. Now, these countries are unlikely to budge in favor of a Palestinian statehood. So joining me now from one of these countries is Pastor Jacinta Pap of the Bread of Life Church in Budapest, the capital city of Hungary. Pastor Jacinta, thank you so much for joining us late at night there in Hungary. I appreciate you coming on to join us.
Thank you very much.
Now, we're thankful that your country and others are standing firm for Israel as a representative. Yes, standing in for these other countries. Will you pray and pray for continuing unwavered commitment from these countries to stand on the side of truth?
Yes, that would be an honor. We are very glad to be part of this nation, Hungary, which stands with Israel for a long time now. And I just want to start with a Bible verse from Ezekiel chapter 25, verses 15 to 17. This is what the Sovereign Lord says. The people of Philistia have acted against Judah out of bitter revenge and long-standing contempt. Therefore, this is what the Sovereign Lord says. I will raise my fist of judgment against the land of Philistines. I will wipe out the Keratites and utterly destroy the people who live by the sea. I will execute terrible vengeance against them to punish them for what they have done. And when I have inflicted my revenge, they will know that I am the Lord. Jesus, we come before you with these words. We know these were spoken more than 2,500 years ago, but you are the same God. Thank you, Lord, that those nations who choose to honor Israel, no matter what Israel is doing, but Israel is your apple of your eye, is your chosen nation. Jesus, those nations who stand with Israel, they will be rewarded. And I ask for all the nations who have closed their eyes, who have turned their back to Israel, who have turned their back to you, Lord, that they will come to realize what is happening. They will come to realize how you treat nations that do not stand with Israel. And I also just pray for all the people of Palestine, everyone who is an Arab or who is a Karaite, a Cretan, or wherever people are from. Lord, that whatever you need to do right now, it will make them realize who you are, because that's your ultimate purpose. And I also bless Israel as a Hungarian, as a representative of a nation that officially also stands with Israel. I bless Israel that they will be light in the darkness. They will continue to carry out your will, God. And there will be a clear blessing on Israel and a protection. I speak the blood of Jesus as it was on the doorposts at the time of leaving Egypt. I speak also the blood of Jesus over Israel right now to be protected, not because we stand with them, but because you stand with them. In the name of Yeshua, I pray. Amen.
Jacinta, thank you so much for joining us in praying with us tonight.
Thank you very much.
And folks, the Prime Minister of Israel will speak tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. Eastern time at the United Nations General Assembly. So I would encourage you to be praying for him. Now, I've said this before, and I'll repeat it again, that our support for Israel does not mean that we endorse and support everything that they do, just like I don't support and endorse everything my country does. But I love my country, pray for my country, and I think God has blessed America. And we believe that the Lord has blessed the world through Israel, as he said in Genesis chapter 12. And he says, those who bless you will be blessed, and those who curse you will be cursed. I don't think, and I know there's some that disagree with this, but I do not believe that that had an expiration date. Last, we want to pray from here. In the United States, as we continue to pray around the country, what is happening? There's so many policy things that are moving around, and we need to pray for our president, our country, this administration, to make the right decisions as it pertains to Israel. I mean, just think of the tremendous issues that the president is dealing with each and every day. And I know he's got a great staff that's working with him, but these are weighty issues, and he has to make a lot of decisions very rapidly. He's trying to bring peace in Europe between Ukraine and Russia. He's dealing with these Middle Eastern leaders, and he's trying to keep the Middle East from blowing up. Now, I understand all that weight is not on him from the standpoint of spiritually, but politically, he's leading. And quite frankly, I think he's doing quite a good job. We need to pray for him. Joining me now is Travis Weber, Vice President for Policy and Government Affairs here at the Family Research Council to pray for the administration as the president makes many, many weighty decisions that will have significant ramifications, good or bad, for our country. Travis, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you, Tony.
All right. Before you pray, any thoughts before you lead us in prayer?
Tony, I think it's important for us to keep in mind at these times the rapid nature of events and just know that as believers we have authority to bind and to loose and to exercise our authority as covered by the blood of Christ and seated in the heavenly realms over the kingdom of heaven's advancement, Tony, and the protection of people who need the Lord's protection. We'll pray for our president and the administration in that regard to do and accomplish righteousness on the earth. And that is what, you know, this is about. It's about aligning with the Lord. And so I think it's important for us and for our viewers and listeners to join with us now and join us in our prayer in this area.
Why don't you lead us in prayer?
Yeah. So join with us. Lord, we come before you boldly and just, Lord, speak the blood of Jesus over the president, the administration, every member of the U.S. government right now, Lord, that is acting in their official capacity, Lord, whether they're in New York at the United Nations, in Washington, D.C., or elsewhere around the United States, Lord, we apply this protection to every member of the federal government, Lord, but specifically those dealing with foreign policy, national security, foreign affairs, and interstate relations, Lord. We ask for clarity to come, Lord, for the president and for other leaders in our government to see the truth, Lord, what is happening behind the scenes, Lord, what is hidden, what is happening in the spiritual realm, Lord. We pray that they might see into things behind what is on the surface. Lord, we pray for supernatural wisdom. Grant them supernatural wisdom in these dealings, Lord, in the conversations, specifically, Lord, with these states in the Middle East right now. And the president's meeting with Erdogan today in the White House, Lord, we ask for President Trump to have that supernatural wisdom to know how to walk, Lord. We cancel in the name of Jesus any confusion, fog, veiling, or anything obscuring clarity over the United States with regard to Israel and the Middle East. Lord, we ask for truth, justice, and righteousness to reign. Lord, we ask for that to go global, but we ask for it to be focused on the Middle East. We ask for protection for the Prime Minister Netanyahu, Lord, as he comes and travels to New York City. We ask for him to be focused under your hand, with it, your staff in his hand, and your voice. Lord, may you speak through him. May you give him your words and your strategies, Lord, to accomplish what you're doing. Lord, as we join with the previous people who prayed, Lord, and just desiring your name to be proclaimed, it's about King Jesus. And Lord, we desire the name of Jesus to be lifted up and the offer of reconciliation to be made for every person to be reconciled to God and between God and man, between God and themselves. Lord, whether they're living in Gaza City, in Jerusalem, or anywhere else around the world, Lord, we desire that message of truth, justice, and righteousness, and what God, you have done, Father, on the cross by sending Jesus to pay the penalty for our sins. May that message pierce through the darkness with a shattering effect. May it pierce into hearts and minds of all people observing their surroundings and observing the things at work in the world right now. Lord, we ask for your ways to advance, Lord, from our nation's capital here in Washington, D.C. We ask for your ways to advance here in the United States and in New York City at the UN General Assembly right now. We ask for your kingdom to advance tomorrow. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Travis. And as we close out, I also want to encourage you folks to not only be praying for Israel, pray for the peace of Israel, and that includes all the people. We need to be praying for the Palestinians, pray for those folks in Gaza, pray for many in Judea and Samaria, Arabs, who do not want to be under the corrupt government of the Palestinian Authority. So I'm going to close this out with that prayer, and again, I want to encourage you to be praying through the weekend as a Prime Minister Netanyahu meets with President Trump on Monday. Father, we do thank you for this time of prayer that we can take this platform, the airwaves of America, and we can pray for Israel. We can pray for America, pray for our leaders. We pray, Lord, not only for Israel and the Israelis and the Jewish people, but we pray for all of Israel, the Palestinians that live there, the Arabs that live there. We pray for peace upon that entire land. We pray for freedom for the people in Gaza, Lord, from underneath the hand of Hamas, as well as from that of the Palestinian Authority. And may you be exalted, and may all come to know the freedom that is found only in Jesus Christ. For it's in his name we pray. Amen. All right, folks, thanks for joining us, but keep standing and keep praying.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is brought to you by Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. Portions of the show discussing candidates are brought to you by Family Research Council Action. For more information on anything you heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com.